on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
Alrighty, 28 to 11 here on the pace. Greg Hayes has left the building. Jason Bonington's in the building. Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Kev, as well. Really looking forward to reviewing what was a magnificent night on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park. Menangle Miracle Mile, of course, Ladyship Mile, New South Wales Derby, New South Wales Oaks. Billy had a chance to catch our breath, and hopefully we'll catch up with a few of the key protagonists from the action on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park Menangle.
So much was interest on Lazarus. Never looked likely.
He didn't.
He was there three wide all the way.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on in the gig tonight, and hopefully a little bit today. I'm not quite so disparaging of Natalie Rasmussen's driver's sum. Now, she just didn't have any options. Normally in a Miracle Mile, in any great race, they go very quickly for the first quarter of the final mile, and then you get your opportunity. All right, it's time to launch now if you're at the back of the field. Well, that went to launch. And they never slowed down. They went 26 seconds the first quarter, 27 seconds the second. So people were saying, why didn't she make a decision? I think she made a decision to go forward. She just couldn't. And at the end of the day, you look at the sectionals from the Miracle Mile. He's gone 148 and change, which would win 98.9% of races of all time at Tabcorp Park Menangle. Every horse in that race went out of their skin. It just so happened that they went a Southern Hemisphere record, and my field marshal was too good on the night.
It's possibly one of the highest quality Miracle Mile finals of all time in terms of times.
Well, absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, as I say, when they came out of the gate, I was sitting there in the studio at Menangle with Adam Hamilton, and we're thinking, well, did they go as quickly as we thought they would? Because we thought they'd really scorched the earth in that first 400 metres. It didn't look like it visually, but they just kept going. You know, the relentless pressure was something quite extraordinary, largely dictated by Greg Sugars' Soho Tribeca. What an astonishing run from him. He's gone 147 of his own accord in the breeze and still been unsuccessful, run down late by the four-year-old Jillaby Kung Fu, who was coming off the Chariots of Fire win 7 days prior. And Myfield Marshall, what an amazing story, and I can't wait to speak with the trainer Tim. But to talk about the narrative behind this horse, they missed the Inter Dominion, they missed the Hunter Cup. It was a really unbelievable plan, the architecture behind the plan to miss those two big races and say, we're just going to go for the Miracle Mile, we think this is our race, and to pull it off, it would have been an extremely satisfying night.
Who do you have on the program this morning, Jace?
We have, you always cross your fingers, don't you? But we hope we have Tim
Budd. This is
the plan. We hope we have Tim Budd, who was, of course, a successful trainer with Myfield Marshall on the weekend. Shane Tritton, who we know very well, and had Franco Nelson win the Bohemia Crystal free-for-all, a staggering win, and a horse who's making an incredible renaissance as an eight-year-old. Also Emma Stewart, who trifected the New South Wales Derby and also won the Ladyship Mile. And Beck Bartley, hopefully, as well, who is the woman behind San Carlo, who will go around as one of the favourites, probably the favourite in the Cranbourne Cup on Saturday night, and was a narrow second in the Bohemia Crystal behind Franco Nelson as well.
While we wait for our first guest here to answer the phone, how different is it a Miracle Mile on the unique shape of Menangle compared to, say, Harold Park, for example, of years gone past? How different must it be for a driver? Because it's this one massive big, a circle, but it is almost a mile in distance, isn't it, the whole thing?
It's 1,400 metres, and in fact, the time run on Saturday night is the second fastest on a track shorter than a mile or smaller than a mile, and the seventh fastest mile of all time. And of course, it's different to Harold Park. Harold Park, I guess from a driver's perspective, there might have been more tactical nous required on a week-in, week-out basis. But if you saw the drive from Anthony Budd on Saturday night, you can still drive Menangle. Now, a lot of people feel like you just end up where you end up and you just have to hope for a little bit of luck in the final 600 metres or 400 metres. But the drive from Anthony Budd and also Chris Alford on Poster Boy winning the New South Wales Derby, you can drive the track, and some do drive it better than others. And as I mentioned on Saturday night, we had Anthony Budd drive one of the great races. He's one of the great big race drivers. And we've got Tim Budd joining us on the line, the trainer of the Miracle Mile winner on Saturday night in Myfield Marshall. How are you, Tim?
I'm fantastic, boys. Yep, no, it was a great swell. And I'm still just a terrific race to be involved in.
Look, there's so many parts of this narrative. I sort of tweeted out the other day. There's so many sort of angles to the story of Myfield Marshall. And one of the more interesting ones, one of the, I guess, the less spoken about aspects of his story is the fact that he's sort of seen, I don't know if you can see this from the inside, but he's been looked at as sort of an underdog all the way through his career. Early doors, I know you had an opinion of him, but he wasn't one of the best two-year-olds going around. But while he's seen as an underdog, he's an absolute blue blood. He's the son of one of your great mares of all time, for real, and I guess was always bred in the purple and to be a very, very good horse.
He's always been an outstanding individual, and he was always quite immature when he was young. He just didn't quite have that strength, and hence we sort of looked after him a little bit and didn't bottom him, and all that's come to fruition now, really.
And he's had the health issues as well. I'm not sure whether it was one or two wind surgeries, but that's, I guess, a part of the narrative as well, that people tuning in on Saturday night for the first time who aren't really connected with the sport or the horse and just watch the race, they wouldn't know the trials and tribulations this horse has been through.
No, he had a wind operation as a three-year-old, a tie-back operation, and actually Alistair McLean from Victoria, Melbourne did it, and he made a fantastic job. So, then he went from strength to strength after that, and it wasn't another 12 months ago. He just had a wee bit of a trim up, just to tidy a bit of scar tissue and such forth, and that improved him again.
How often, when horses have to go through operations like that, and we know that Alistair McLean is as good as they go in the world, really, when it comes to these sort of operations, also worked on Sokiola, how often do they come back and race to the level that Myfield Marshall has been able to do? Like, it's a very hit-and-miss sort of situation. A lot of horses don't come through it, do they?
No, hardly ever, really. You know, they're always 10 or 20% down on their true ability, you know, and the worst thing is they get a lot of lung infections as a byproduct of the operation, and that's got to be managed all the time. He sort of coughs up a little bit, and you really just got to put your fingers in your ears and not listen to it, you know. So to overcome those things and continue to want to be a racehorse and try and those sort of things is fantastic.
So let's fast forward to him as a four-year-old. He goes through and wins those two great four-year-old races along with the Jewels, the Taylor Mole, the Messenger and the Jewels. Then he comes to Victoria, a devastating win in the 4- and 5-year-old championships, and all of a sudden people are starting to realise this guy's a genuine horse, and then he explodes onto the Grand Circuit scene. He's able to win the Len Smith Mile, runs a terrific race up there in Queensland, and the Blacks are fake. And I guess some stage here you sort of think to yourself, well, you've always thought you had a serious horse on your hands, but now you know you've got a Grand Circuit horse on your hands.
Well, it's just great to win a race like the Miracle Mile with him, because it puts him right up there with the all-time greats, you know. And, as I said, you live with these sort of horses and go through the problems with them. And, it's never smooth sailing, so you have a lot of ups and downs. And just on Saturday night, it just proved, if you keep battling away and, have faith in your horse, well, you get rewards.
Now, I suspect at the time it felt very much like an easy decision for you to miss the Inter-Dominion Series and to miss the Hunter Cup, but when you've got an A-grade horse, a horse like Myfield Marshall, who you don't know when the next one's going to come along, it could be next year, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years, how hard is it to say, look, I'm just going to refuse the temptation to go over to Perth, I'm going to refuse the temptation even to duck down to Victoria and take on Lazarus in the Hunter Cup, because I've got one goal in mind, I'm putting all my eggs in the Miracle Mile basket?
Yeah, it is a pretty hard decision, because, I believe if the Grand Circuit horses, they should race, and because you don't dominate that level. You go around in the major races and hope you ride on one of the days and get the luck, and that's always been my theory. I don't like glass cage champions or those sort of things, but this horse is different. We had to manage him and, treat him because of his wind operations and the longer distance races and the four races in a fortnight, so... In hindsight, with this horse, it's an easy decision. But sometimes you make those decisions, you come towards the Miracle Mile and you get a stone bruise or something. So you are risking a heck of a lot.
But sometimes, just sometimes, fate plays in your hands. And I think I spoke to you in the week before the Miracle Mile, and it couldn't have worked out more perfectly, could it? You go into the Miracle Mile qualifier, you run in a heat that is roughly 3 seconds slower than the one won by Anything for Love. All Myfield Marshall really has to do is run a very significant final 400 or 500 metres. You must have been going into the Miracle Mile just thinking, well, there's no excuses. Everything's pretty much gone perfectly to plan, exactly as I wanted.
Yeah, dead right. I had him pretty tight for the heat, because you have to be, you know what I mean? And then just freshened him up during the week, and in the draw come out and he's in a nice draw at three and Lazarus drawing eight and those sort of things. Everything was just falling into place nicely. And, you know, we didn't panic during the week. The main thing with these big races is just, you know, keep calm and just, you know, leave all the media and all that stuff behind and just concentrate on your horse. And, you know, that's what we did. And as I said, fate did play its hand and, you know, it was in our favour.
And it seemed like when Gareth was able to catch up with you soon after the race, you were a little bit emotional. You've made this huge trip from New Zealand to set up base in Sydney and to be able to so quickly have a horse that, I guess, as much as anything else, it's a wonderful moment in history, but also an incredible advertisement for you and your stable and the setup here in Sydney. Like, did it all get to you a little bit? Were you actually feeling the emotion of the night on Saturday?
Yeah, for sure, because, you know, like Christchurch has been home to me and, you know, the racing over there has been terrific over the years. We've had so many great owners and so many great horses. And you know, as I said, it's probably the pinnacle New Zealand Cup Day and those sort of things with the interest and the people and the city of Christchurch, you know. But, you know, just at my stage of life, I was ready for a change and a new challenge. And, you know, I've always loved Australia and the style of racing and the people and that. So, you know, I felt that instead of doing another 20 years of the same old thing, I needed a change. And, you know, I'm really enjoying it.
Well, it was a staggering win, as we know. It was a record-breaking win. And Myfield Marshall, well, it was great for the punters too. He was heavily, heavily back. Somehow he was open $19 post-draw, ended up paying about $6.50 and just got there right on the line. A brilliant drive from your brother, Anthony Butt, I think, to just stay in the slipstream long enough and just hit the line at the right time. You're coming on in the gig with us a little bit later on this afternoon. One of the questions we're going to ask you, we won't get you to elaborate too much here, but just to give us a little bit of a teaser. Back in the day, we know it was an invitational race, the Miracle Mile, less horses, generally about six got to go in the race. Moving forward, do you think that's the right plan to go back to a more select invitational field, or are you happy the way things are now? Because we know we saw Lazarus on the weekend, and history is telling us over and over and over again now, it's almost impossible to win if you draw outside, say, gate five at Tabcorp Park. Menangle, what are your thoughts on that?
I quite like the system. I think, you know, the horses have to line up the week before, you know. I don't think the draw was necessary, you know, against Lazarus so much. I think it was the fact that, you know, the horses come off some brilliant racing and been in Perth and hunting in Melbourne and in New Zealand and just coming to the end of his campaign. And, you know, you can't go to the well with all of them so all the time. So I'd loathe to blame the draw or so forth because I think he's way down on his best. But, you know, I think if they line up the week before and they run well, well, they get a chance to go around the week later. So everyone knows where they stand, and invitations can be a little bit subjective, especially in the form some of them they're in, you know. So, I quite like the system.
Well, I think there's nearly an argument, a strange argument, to suggest Myfield Marshall could have missed out if there were only six. So we'll discuss that a little bit later on tonight on In the Gig, mate. We really enjoy or appreciate you joining us on the Pace and look forward to catching up a little bit later on tonight as well.
Anytime. Thanks, boys.
There's Tim Butler, trainer, of course, of the Miracle Mile winner, Myfield Marshall, our next guest on the Pace. We're heading down to Victoria for the woman who trained the trifecta in the New South Wales Derby. It's Emma Stewart. How are you, Em?
Well, thank you.
One of my most vivid memories of Saturday night was you almost smashing the window down of the studio that Adam Hamilton and I were in after your trifecta, the New South Wales Derby, and of course the horse who won the race, one of your all-time favourites, Poster Boy. It was a red letter night.
Yeah, it was. It was a terrific night, and I had to watch it on your screen actually because Willow was playing hide and seek in the parade ring, so that's the only screen I could see.
and I mean, obviously you were so excited. I don't know even if you knew you'd trifected the race at the time, but the Poster Boy, as I mentioned, I reckon Restrepo for a long time while he was racing was probably your favourite at the time, but now that Restrepo's gone to the retirement barn, Poster Boy's sort of taken over as your favourite. You absolutely love him. You defend him with your life. So to see him win his big group one, I guess, on Saturday night, unbelievably satisfying.
Yeah, it was satisfying, you know, to come so close in Victoria and just to go down after a terrific run, you know, it was a little bit hard. So for him to come out and win the Derby, and we love New South Wales as well. So for him to win the New South Wales Derby, you know, it was just fantastic.
One thing about this horse, I mean, it's very difficult to compare all the great horses you've had, particularly over the last close to a decade now, but this horse is devastatingly quick. You looked at the race and the sectionals and you thought to yourself, Colt 31 is going to be almost impossible to beat here. He's big dictated terms in front. They've run a ridiculously slow lead time. But the one thing about Poster Boy, and he showed it, particularly in a heat of the Victoria Derby as well, his sort of change-up speed is pretty much out of this world.
Yeah, he's really, really quick, and we sort of haven't seen much of that from him because he's either sort of been in front most of his races, so and he tends to knock off a little bit in front. So, yeah, with him sitting up and, you know, for him to still run those sectionals is pretty unbelievable, but he's very quick and he's just a lovely all-round racehorse.
And talk us through the horses who ran second and third in the Derby as well. Tam Major must have been an enormous shock. He paid cricket score odds a place and he's run sectionals. He's gone sub 53 his final half and he's absolutely gone out of his skin.
Yeah, he has. I didn't know who it was because he's in the new colours this week. So I was thinking, oh my God. But, you know, his run was terrific. And, you know, he's sort of always been a horse that's been just sort of a little bit below the better ones. And, you know, if he has a little bit of luck in running, like on Saturday night, you know, he's always thereabouts. So it was a big thrill for Bruce Edwards.
And the third horse, this was my big bet in the race, as a matter of fact, just Major Times the place. And I reckon he was a little bit unlucky, not that he would have beaten Poster Boy, but he's a different kind of horse, isn't he? He's probably not a pick-up and sprint quickly over 100 metres type customer. And he just had that little bit of trouble getting clear. I've got a funny feeling, and I reckon your partner Clayton might agree with me, in 6 or 12 months' time in some big races that Major Times could be right up there with Poster Boy.
Yeah, definitely. He's sort of a big scope. He's sort of colt, and he's a lot taller than Poster Boy, and so it takes him a little bit of time to wind up. And I think Poster Boy is a little bit lucky he got held up, because I'm with you. You know, he's a really nice horse going forward, and his run last week was super. And you know, his run in the final was, I think, even better. So with a bit of luck, you know, he may have won. But yeah, he's definitely a horse going forward, and you know, he's got the big rangy scope about him, and he just looks like he's going to make a 4-year-old.
And we'll turn our attention now to the Ladyship Mile, the win by Carlos Pixel. You haven't had this mare for very long. She's just gotten better and better and better throughout the course of her career. Early doors, she wasn't up with the best of her gender and generation, but by the time she's come to you, I guess you knew you had a very handy horse on your hands. And Luke McCarthy's interview pre-race, he was brimming with confidence, and I guess that confidence can have only come from the camp. So you must have gone into the race thinking she was a big hope.
Yeah, we did. Luke did a final hit out during the week, and Clayton said, oh, I was a little bit worried about the draw. And Luke said, oh, the draw won't worry her. He was really confident. She worked terrific during the week. And, you know, it's handy when you get a horse like that that's already up and going. And, you know, Dean had done all the hard work, and her form was impeccable. So you just sort of got to keep the ball rolling. And, you know, she did a terrific job, and she's very quick. So, yeah, no, it was terrific to win that race.
You'd still be learning a lot about her. I've always sort of rated her as a dead set miler. She's effective over middle trips and longer trips, I guess, when we get to the other big Group 1 races, Queen of the Pacifics and over in Perth, if you wanted to go over there. But is this her bread and butter, that you're going to try and get her to win the best mile races and do it that way? Or do you think she has got the scope to be a little bit more versatile than that?
Yeah, I think she's quite versatile. You know, she's a lovely racehorse. She settles well, and, you know, in the longer trips, maybe she just needs a little bit of cover and, you know, not used up early. But, yeah, I think it's pretty versatile, but definitely the miles to go, I think.
And quickly, we should touch on Nostra Villa as well. She was extremely brave in the Oaks. Things just didn't quite work out for her. She had to work extremely hard, but her competitive instinct and will to win will mean that incredible record she's already built up, she's going to continue on with.
Yeah, I thought she was terrific. You know, things didn't go her way at all on Saturday night. You know, she still fought it out. She tried her hardest. So, yeah, we were really pleased with her, and we thought she was one of the ones of the night.
And a final question for you. On the night, you spoke about how excited you were to win big races at Tabcorp Park Menangle. Today, you've already spoken about your love of Sydney and the fact that you were wrapped to win the New South Wales Derby with Poster Boy. I guess the barn has grown so exponentially in the past 5, 6, 7 years. Is there a hint there that you have got some interest in setting up a satellite barn up in New South Wales at some point?
No way at all. It's way too hot up there. I think it makes us look good because it takes the cream of our crop up there for these races. So, you know, that sort of helps us. But, yeah, no way, no, are we ever moving to Sydney.
I can tell you what, the humidity is about 267% up here today. I can understand what you're saying there. We should also, I said that was the last question, but you got some really nice runners going around on Saturday night, hopefully at Cranbourne, included among them Shadow Saxon, Whirly School. I'm really interested in the winner from last Saturday night at Beckley Park, Phoenix Prince, very inexperienced customer, 3 starts, 3 wins. How good could this bloke be?
Yeah, I think he's really good. It's just sort of a matter of keeping him sound. He's quite a big horse and he hits the ground hard. So that's our only issue with him. But ability-wise, you know, he's probably up there with our better horses. So, you know, it was a terrific run the other night. I couldn't believe it at the start. So, you know, it was just good to get that win out of the way. But, yeah, I really think the horse going places.
All right, thanks very much, Emma. Really appreciate your time. Magnificent performance on Saturday night at Menangle. 7 runners, 2 Group 1 wins, a second and 2/3. You can't do much better than that. And hopefully you have some more success on Saturday night at Cranbourne.
No worries. Thanks very much.
All right, there's Emma Stewart, who, of course, well, we won't say dominated, but certainly played an extremely significant role at Tabcorp Park Menangle on Saturday night in those feature races. I'm not 100% sure whether we have Beck Bartley on the line. She's the trainer, well, the co-trainer, I guess, with Steve O'Donoghue in many ways, of Sancala, who was a brilliant silver medalist in the Bohemia Crystal free-for-all, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll go around in the Cranbourne Pacing Cup on Saturday night. And we're also hoping to potentially get hold of Shane Tritton, who was the conqueror of Sancala with Franco Nelson. Really interesting story he is. When you go through his past 3 runs, he obliterated Myfield Marshall, the subsequent Miracle Mile winner, 3 starts ago over 2,300 metres at Tabcorp Park Menangle, then ran a slashing but unsuccessful race in a Miracle Mile qualifier, and then came out and went 153.2, only half a second outside the mile and a half record at Tabcorp Park Menangle and at Bohemia Crystal free-for-all. And this is a horse, they said, I think he's all done. I think there's no more for Franco Nelson. So for him to be able to be doing what he's doing right now is very, very exciting. Just waiting on Beck and Shane on the line here, Kev, but hopefully we can get one or both them up in the last sort of little bit of the show, but really interesting to hear, particularly from Tim Butt, the excitement. He came here, a real sea change, dominated racing for so long there in New Zealand, setting up in Christchurch, comes over here and you think it might take you 3 or 4 years before you strike a blow. He's been here no more than 6 or 7 months and he's won a Miracle Mile.
Easy, just like that.
Well, they've won a stack of Hunter Cups. They've won every big race. They hadn't won a Miracle Mile, so they're about to come here and do it with a horse who I mentioned is bred in the purple, an absolute blue blood, but I think most people thought he's a nice horse, but he's not at that level. And for him to be able to come out and prove just how good he was on Saturday night, wonderful for Team Butt, and I think wonderful for the sport that Australasian record was broken, because I think it gives everyone the confidence to believe that we're as good as anybody in the world. As I mentioned, Franco Nelson, an 8-year-old who has bounced back to his very best form. And really, I think, Kev, if he'd been in the Miracle Mile, he would have been pretty close to winning it. We have now got Shane on the line. How are you, Shane?
G'day, mate. How you going?
Pretty good, thanks, mate. Just it's probably something you don't want to hear or discuss anymore about the fact that if he'd been in the Miracle Mile and he'd been in, say, Myfield Marshall's position based on their sectionals from the week before, that you very well could have won the race. But I guess that's the reality.
Yeah, look, taking nothing away. Like, they went 46, and I guess you don't know if that's uncharted territory until you go into it. But look, I really wish he could have been there. I think he's right at his peak, and you know, he likes that style of racing and he's got the class to deal with it. And look, it wasn't to be, and you know, it was a great race, and you know, maybe we just got to try and get him right for next year.
So with a horse like Franco Nelson, we know there's sort of been unspecified soundness problems for a long period of time with him. How long after a run like Saturday night, where he's run a brutal mile rate, 153.2, very close to the record over the mile half at Tabcorp Park Menangle, do you know the next day that he's feeling all right and he's come through the race well? Does it take a few days? Does it take a week? Sort of, how do you manage him?
To be honest, you know, I sort of, the last 2 days we've had a crazy month. So the last 2 days I've kind of left the horses alone to let me clear my head and let them get, they're probably sick of me terrorising them. So look, he's pulled up fine. We know that he pulled up fine after the race. He was winning and then carrying on. So you know, we're of the thinking that he's, you know, he's right at the start of his prep. He's had 4 runs back from a spell, and you know, he's got no chance of going to a paddock anytime soon. So it's a matter of us moving forward. We just kind of need to work out the best map with that, and you know, try and look after him, because he, you know, like I said, he's potentially my best horse at the moment, and you know, he's got to leave the team.
Those south of the border, I know you've had plenty of texts and calls to say come down for the Kilmore Cup, and come down for some of the races down in Victoria. Are you tempted to do that at the moment? You know, I hark back to the conversation I just had with Tim Butt about avoiding some races, even massive races with good horses sometimes, and targeting on specific events. I know the Len Smith Mile will loom large in your mind a little bit down the track, but do you want to keep him at home? Are you happy to travel with him? Are you happy to treat him like he's a racehorse, even knowing that he has got these soundness issues, because he hasn't shown them to you? Are you happy to treat him like he's a racehorse, or do you have to keep him in cotton wool and really target your feature races to some degree?
Look, I think at the very start of things, I decided with him that, you know, I'll let him tell me how good he is and how sound he is. And at this point, we've seen no signs of any lameness issues. So, look, at this point, you know, we're obviously thinking Len Smith into Dominion. You know, that's our main target. The road there is probably something that we need to discuss with. Obviously, he's a big colt, and, you know, how far do we push him? And you know, the horse races like the Kilmore Cup and things like a obviously very tempting, and he does get around the small tracks pretty good. So, you know, I think we've definitely got to look at it. But my mindset right now is not travelling anywhere. It's just sort of keeping him at home and looking after him. But, you know, I think in the next few days we'll make a decision on the Kilmore Cup, and then we'll make a decision based on whether we look at the Queensland Carnival as well.
Just touching on Anything for Love as well, who ran a brave race in the Miracle Mile. You know, it was one of those situations that he went a career best by a long way in the qualifier for the Miracle Mile, and then he's come out. And the truth is, and people, I guess, uninitiated won't understand this, he went about a second faster on Saturday night than he went the previous week. So, I mean, you'd have to be incredibly proud of him, because prior to that, he was a genuine 150 horse. I guess during this little period, he's proven he's another step better than that.
Yeah, definitely. Look, and we knew that, you know, we've led in the Miracle Mile a few times, and he's a hunted horse. You know, we probably, in the heat, were the horse that no one thought would be there at the end, so they left us alone, and you know, to their peril, we won. But in the Miracle Mile, they came after us, and, you know, that pushed him to another level. And, yes, we went 47.8, I think, for a mile, and managed to get beat by 14 metres. So, you know, I keep finding these horses that seem to like to lead, and I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to work out it's going to be very hard to lead him in a Miracle Mile. But you know, end of the day, it's yeah, we're very proud of him. He's a horse that's been knocked and knocked and knocked, and you know, I'm glad he stood up. And you know, at this point in time, he's still, you know, Australia's one of Australia's fastest ever horses. And look, I think given time, he's likely to be better than that. And you know, I think you know, full credit to Soho Tribeca. I can't believe the horse that parked and went 40, sub 47 and got beat. So, you know, it's a crazy mile, and obviously it was good for everyone to watch.
And look, take us through. I reckon you've already sort of announced that Franco Nelson's probably the best horse in your stable if you can get him 100% right and sound and keep him on his keep him on the path that he's currently on. But there's probably three or four who are all very good horses. Take us 6 or 12 months down the track. How do we rank these horses? If Franco Nelson's number one, who are 2, 3, and 4?
There's another horse that hit there that I believe is as good as Franco Nelson. He hasn't had the chance to show it in the last 6 months through injury, but if Soldi Robin comes back anywhere near as good as he's trialling today, yeah, we're in the back 12 months. He was sitting outside Lazarus and getting beat a couple of metres. So, you know, I think he's a horse that, you know, given time, he's definitely, I probably wouldn't rank Franco Nelson in front of him until he proves he's not at that level. But, you know, they're probably the main two that I think are at the, you know, the Inter-Dominion, the Miracle Mile, that could sit past and be there at the end. You know, the rest of my team are all, you know, improving, and, you know, these horses seem to come from anywhere in our stable. You know, every year there's a different one heading towards the Miracle Mile. But, look, I definitely think those two are right up there with the best of them. And, look, I've got a big opinion of Reza Grunther. I know she's the mare, and you know, but I just, she's given me the impression that she's well under the 150 mark when she's right. And for a mare, you know, that, you know, she should have a lot to say over the next, you know, 12 months, barring everything goes okay with her.
And while I'm on the recruitment drive for Victoria, my final question for you, Shane, is does Anything for Love potentially target a go at the rescheduled Melton Plate? Does he come down to Victoria, or do you think he's best suited just to sticking to those Menangle miles?
Yeah, look, at this point, we've got no plans. We'll look at any mile race, to be honest. You know, he's a genuine miler, and there's probably not a lot of mile racing outside Sydney to target in this country, really. But at the end of the day, if he can find those races where he can sort of roll along and do his own thing, and he's only going to get better at it. So, look, everything's on the table, but he's just having a few easy days at the moment just to slow his legs down a little bit.
Well, Shane, like many of us at the end of the big carnivals, you sound like you need maybe a warm cup of Horlicks and just a little bit of a rest. I think many of us do. Maybe you've done a sensational job, particularly with Franco Nelson, who we thought we'd seen the end of, and to see him racing so well, I think it's great for the sport, mate. So congratulations with Franco Nelson and good luck for the future.
Thanks, mate. No drama.
There's Shane Tritton, so hopefully he can stay sound because he's going to add another element. And I guess he's a throwback to, I guess, 10 or 15 years ago where you saw horses, war horses in harness racing, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, who could continue on at race at the top level. We've become a little bit more thoroughbred like these days where the 4 and 5-year-olds dominate, but it'll be great to see Franco Nelson continue on his winning way. Thank you very much to Tim, but to Shane Tritton and Emma Stewart, who all performed above and beyond expectations on Saturday night at Menangle.
Well done, Jason, and in the gig tonight.
Yeah, in the gig tonight. We're going to have Ben Way, of course, running the show, the Paul Newman, Ben Cousins type mixture there running the show. But Tim Butt's going to come into the studio, and he's going to be like a co-host for us as well, and we're going to discuss all those major topics, locked wheels. We're going to discuss maybe whether it's better to get back to six horses and Invitational for the Miracle Mile. We've got a little taste of what Tim's attitude towards that is. Mine's a bit different, so it could be interesting.
Paul Newman, I get, but Ben Cousins?
Yeah,
don't go there.
You don't. Well, I'm not sure he wants to be compared.
Maybe socially?
I haven't had enough time with Ben yet, but hopefully as we go forward, I'll be able to give you a little bit of a dossier on what his behaviour is like. Well, I'm seeing potentially he's a little bit of a worry on the drink, but I'll find that out. I'll work it out for you over the next 6 months or so.
Maybe it's closer than you think, Jase.
That's worrying.
Okay.
Thanks, Kev.
In the gig tonight, there with Jason Bonington. That's on the pace.